Gary Myers is now working as a consultant for that league. And, of course, Gary Myers, longtime Daily News football writer, very, very well respected in terms of his football acumen, has been on The Fan doing shows a number of times. And he joins us now to talk about this new venture. Gary, thank you for joining us. How you doing?
I am just back from San Antonio. I'm doing good. And so did you get to watch any of the game, or you just saw the pregame stuff?
Honestly, I fell asleep.
It was an 8:30 start. You shouldn't have fallen asleep.
Gary, I got to tell you, Saturday nights, because I got to get up to do the 6 to 10 show Saturday morning, by 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, I'm gone.
Yeah, just out of it.
I need a lot of motivation to stay up. But tell us about the league. First of all, I mean, Polian, you know, to me, I have a ton of respect for that guy. Mm-hmm. But then you look at the coaches in this league. These are names people know.
Well, sure. I mean, you have Mike Moritz, who coached in a couple of Super Bowls. One is a head coach. Rick Neuheisel, Steve Spurrier. No surprise his team scored 40 points last night. They were always able to score. Mike Singletary, he coached the 49ers for a while. Tim Lewis, former Giants defensive coordinator. Mike Riley is the coach in San Antonio, and he was a former Chargers coach and a long time college head coach. So they got some names. Now, these aren't guys who necessarily are looking to get back into the NFL. A lot of them had figured maybe their coaching days were over just because of the way the NFL works. But there's a lot of good young assistant coaches in the league who were hoping to use this as an opportunity to get a coaching job in the NFL, and certainly all the players who are in the league, and there's 416 of them, 52-man rosters, eight teams, and 70% of the players in the league who have been on an NFL roster in the last 18 months, you know, be it a training camp roster, a practice squad roster, or an active roster. So these are guys who either are trying to get their career started or continue it after maybe not getting an opportunity. And this gives them 10 weeks to show people what they can do.
And do you sense, Gary, that the NFL are going to have scouts watching these games and paying attention to some of these players?
Yeah, I mean, a bunch of teams send scouts through training camp. All eight teams had training camp in San Antonio. Most of them at high school fields, but if you ever been to high school fields in Texas, you know it's college quality. And so they had really good facilities down there. And the Dolphins sent four scouts through. They were there for a while. The Bills were there. The Lions were there. I didn't get the final count on how many teams made it through. But if they didn't, then they're going to be coming through and watching games. And this is a perfect situation for NFL teams because – they're not paying for this. It's a developmental league. The way the player contracts work is if an NFL team wants to sign a player at any point, they get out of their contract and then go sign on a practice squad. The only thing they can't do is sign with another league other than the NFL because there's going to be some competition next year when the XFL is supposedly starting up again. So, but I tell you what, Richard, I was really pleasantly surprised last night because I went in thinking I'd be looking at NFL preseason games, and it was much better than that. Obviously, it was more competitive than that because they were trying to win it. And the fans in San Antonio who have been teased over the years thinking they would get an NFL franchise were really into it. There was about 27,000 people there at the Alamo Dome. I think about 10,000 were military people that they had as guests. So they were close to 20,000 paying customers, and they were into it the entire game. It was very loud. And we'll see where it goes from there. I think San Antonio probably has the best support of any of the eight teams. So we'll see as these games go on how they draw. But they have contracts with four networks plus Bleacher Report. I mean, they have CBS, CBS Sports Network, NFL Network, and Turner, you know, and for a first-year enterprise, I mean, that's pretty impressive.
So, Gary, is the idea maybe down the line to be a little like the AFL, where a couple of these teams and a couple of these cities that show great support for football might actually get absorbed into the National Football League? Is that a possibility?
No. Right now, the league owns all the teams, and they're thinking of expanding by two next year. This is not competition for the NFL whatsoever. They've learned through the mistakes of the USFL and the XFL. You can't compete with the NFL. It just doesn't work. And that's not what they're trying to do. It's strictly a developmental league, and so they figure they're fulfilling two voids. One is for players who, when they get cut, had no place to go to try to continue to live their dream, because if you weren't on a practice squad, you had nowhere to go. There's no NFL Europe anymore. And the second thing is that we all talk about how we all go into a state of depression when the Super Bowl is over, because everybody, you know, most sports fans are really into the NFL, and then when you kind of go cold turkey after the Super Bowl is over. Well, now, if you just want to watch football, there's going to be four games televised every weekend through late April, and then there's 1 week of playoffs, and then they have the championship game in Las Vegas. And I saw a stat this morning that the game on CBS last night, or maybe it's a combination of both games that they had on, because it was a game in San Antonio and a game in Orlando, it had higher ratings by a little bit over the NBA on ABC last night. So some of it could have been the curiosity factor, and we'll see if they can sustain it. But people want to watch football.
Gary, what are the rules like? Are they like normal NFL rules? Are there some twists and changes on them, or are they the same as the NFL, basically?
No kickoffs and no kicking extra points, because they feel that, you know, the kickoffs, obviously the NFL is trending towards getting rid of kickoffs, and it's still, it's a very dangerous play. So the ball, you get the ball at the 25-yard line, and on extra points you have to go for two. And the other main change is if you're down by 17 at any point of the game or trailing in the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter and you just score, there's no onside kicks, obviously, because there's no kickoffs, but they call it an onside conversion, and it hasn't happened yet, but you have the option of 4th and 12 from your own 28. That takes the place of the onside kick, and if you convert it, you keep going. Last night, San Diego was trailing 15-6 with just under 2 minutes to go, and they had a first and goal at the 6. So if they had scored in any way, obviously they would have gone for the onside conversion. Unfortunately, because I really wanted to see how this would have worked, they threw an end zone interception, and they never got to try it. But the other thing is there's no TV timeouts. It's just timeouts between the quarters and then the natural timeouts on change of possession. So last night's game, even though the last 2 minutes kind of dragged out a little bit, was played in 2 hours and 33 minutes.
So, Gary, it sounds like the NFL is experimenting with certain things in terms of rules and changes and things that they might do, and they're kind of just putting their toe in the water to see if it actually works in reality as opposed to just theory, right?
Well, here's the thing you have to understand. The NFL, this is not a cooperative venture with the NFL. The NFL has nothing to do with the rules here. This is all Bill Polian and his team. Now, the NFL might wind up adopting some of these rules on their own, but it's not like this is not like NFL Europe, which the NFL ran. This is an independent operation from the NFL. Now, the reason that it's attractive to the players is, you know, after 2 or 3 weeks, there are going to be certain guys who really do emerge from this league and start to make a name for themselves, and say the Giants see a receiver that they like, they can just go ahead and sign him. And the guy can get out of his contract if he wants and go work out with the Giants in the offseason. So that's the cooperative part with the NFL. Any player who's under contract to the NFL cannot go play in the Alliance. Now, I think eventually that could change for these players who are signing future contracts who've been on practice squads. They sign them right after the season. I think it would benefit them to go play in the Alliance and get some playing time and get some experience from some of these coaches than sitting around waiting for OTA. So, but the NFL, your premise in eventuality is correct, that the NFL could adopt some of these rules, and they're going to be watching very closely to see how they work. But they have nothing to do with the alliance actually putting these rules in place. One other thing that's interesting is they have what they call now a sky judge, and it's a ninth. They have eight officials on the field as opposed to seven with the NFL, and they have a ninth in the press box. And the sky judge can reverse any. It's for the entirety of the game,
even pass interference.
I want to tell you first. For safety reasons, if there's a helmet-to-helmet hit that's missed on the field, the sky judge can order the referee to throw a flag. If the referee throws a flag and it turns out that it wasn't an illegal hit, such as the Brady roughing the passer, ridiculous in the AFC Championship game, then the sky judge can have the flag picked up. In the last 5 minutes of the game, if there's a bad pass interference call, like in the New Orleans game, then the sky judge can call down to the referee and have him throw the flag. So they have ways of correcting what they call egregiously bad calls.
Interesting. We're talking to Gary Myers, longtime football writer for the Daily News, on The Fan, now a consultant with the Alliance of American Football. And Gary, one thing that bothered me a little bit was I saw in the paper today, and I forget which paper, they said, well, here's an example of why this isn't like the NFL. And they had a guy come in and cream the quarterback, land on him. I mean, it was a big hit. No flag was thrown. And this is something that if it happened in the NFL, it would be 15 yards roughing the quarterback and the guy might have been thrown out for, vicious hit or whatever.
Right.
Is that kind of the attitude that it's going to be a little bit more physical, a little more old time football and letting them play as opposed to protecting the QBs?
No. In fact, I think they're going to be extremely conscious of all the safety issues and the dangerous plays. The play you're talking about was in the first quarter last night where the Mike Bercovici, who was the quarterback for San Diego, took a hit. It was not even a blindside hit. The guy came off the right side of the offense, the left side of the defense, and just steamrolled him. And his helmet came flying off. And everybody was sitting there waiting for the flag to be thrown because we've gotten so accustomed to that. But there was no flag on the field. And this sky judge doesn't have the benefit of watching 40 replays. They have to make a decision pretty much before the ball is spotted. And because they don't want the game to go on forever with this stuff. And the sky judge did not throw the flag last night. Now, I saw Mike Pereira after the game because he and Dean Blandino are overseeing the officiating, and this whole sky judge concept was Pereira's idea. And I saw Mike in the hallway outside the locker room, and I said, "Was that an illegal hit? I mean, it was vicious." And he told me that it wasn't; that it was more in the chest and the shoulder area. And so they were correct in not throwing a flag. It's just, and I saw all that stuff on Twitter. And when I watched the replay like 10 times, I couldn't tell whether it was a helmet to helmet or a helmet to the chin or something like that. But, Mike, who I think is the foremost authority on rules, I mean, I trust him implicitly to interpret these rules correctly. And even when he was working for the NFL, he admitted mistakes. I mean, he was very forthcoming in this stuff. And he told me it definitely was not a flag. But a lot of people watching the game last night thought, well, we've seen lesser hits, result in flags all season, and it's very frustrating. Does this mean the Alliance is going to be allowing hits like that? Well, according to Pereira, it was a legal hit that even in the NFL there should not have been a flag thrown. So,
gotcha. He was actually, promoting the sky judge idea in the NFL. They asked him about what should be done because of the pass interference call, and he said, well, maybe an official like up top who could overrule and such. So that's interesting. Let's switch gears for a second to the Giants and the age-old question in the draft. They're drafting number 6. Haskins is out there. Is the feeling still, and I know they haven't done the combines yet, but that he's not a guy that they would draft at 6, but they might be interested drafting down, or are they going defense, or what do you see the sense of where the Giants are going versus QB this year?
Well, at some point, they're going to have to draft a quarterback. No matter how much they continue to say they love Eli, any Giant fan who's watched the last couple of years, you can blame part of it on the offensive line, but I really think that Eli has diminishing skills. I think they'll take Haskins if they love Haskins, just like I think they would have taken Sam Darnold last year if they loved Darnold, but they didn't. It was more about them not loving Darnold than loving Saquon Barkley. And you take a quarterback that high, you have to be in love with him and convinced he can be your franchise quarterback for the next 10 years. I don't know how they feel about Haskins. And anybody who tells you that they know that isn't telling you the truth, because he wasn't in any of the postseason All-Star games. And they haven't had the combine yet. They haven't met with him yet. From what I saw him, I watched a lot of Big Ten football last year. I think he's more of a throwback-type quarterback in that he's more of a pocket passer. He moves well, but he's not a runner, not at all. And he's got a great arm. And it looked to me like he understood how to read defenses, and he picked apart the Michigan defense in that, you know, huge game towards the end of last season. And I think the Giants will take him if they're convinced he's their guy. Because if it's not this year, then it's got to be next year or the year after. So as soon as they fall in love with a guy, I think that they'll take him. And, you know, whether they wait a year to get the kid from Alabama or the kid from Georgia, or they wait two more years and get Trevor Lawrence from Clemson, at some point they have to take a quarterback. So as much as they can use some of these defensive linemen in a very, very strong defensive line draft, you have to make the investment at some point to pick a quarterback. And even if he's not going to play right away, it's almost a perfect situation. If they love Haskins, they still have Eli. It can be the same situation as it was with Warner in 2004.
Exactly.
That Eli would play as long as the Giants are winning, and Eli's playing well. It's the first sign that either one of those things isn't working. Then you put the kid in, which is exactly what happened with Eli, and that's what I think they should do. From what I've seen of Haskins, I think they should take him. But Dave Gettleman has never drafted a quarterback other than Kyle Uweta in all the years he's been a general manager in the NFL.
Interesting. Out of time, Gary, but thank you. And, I'm going to watch some of the games. I mean, it looked interesting. If I had stayed awake last night, I would have watched.
Well, let me at 4 o'clock today, I'm not a PR guy for this league. I'm just helping them set up some stuff. But, you know, any Jet fan who was always interested to see Christian Hackenberg, as far as I know, unless his last-minute change, he's starting today for Memphis. And the game is on the CBS Sports Network at 4 o'clock, Memphis at Birmingham. And the coach is Mike Singletary. Dennis Thurman is defensive coordinator, former defensive coordinator for the Jets. And apparently Hackenberg has been able to change his throwing motion. He's working with David Lee, who used to be the Jets quarterback coach. And I'm really curious to see if indeed there's a new Christian Hackenberg, as he has said in the last week or so.
Well, you have given me a tip to watch something at 4 o'clock. Good, because I was wondering what I'm going to do. Now I know. Thank you.
There you go.
Okay, Gary Myers, we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks, Gary.